Fighting for freedom every day. Broadcasting from the heartland of America.
The next generation in conservative talk radio.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. What's up? Welcome into it. It is a Friday, my friends. Pat yourself on the back. You finally made it to the end of the week, which I think is good news. You scream ice cream, we all scream for ice cream, and we got a lot to talk about today for sure to wrap up the week. I am so good to be back in studio for another day. For those that are not in the Wichita area, it's good to be back with you as well, with many radio stations out there. We were on location yesterday for a local event, local promotional event that we did with our flagship station here, KQAM, in the Wichita area. So you did not get that broadcast. You got a different broadcast. But now we're all unified together as our Hoosier-holics are all gathering like we do each and every day. So great to have you with us again. This is the Voice Reason. I am Andy Hoosier, broadcasting out of the heart of the nation here in Wichita on our flagship station all over the country. Your millennial general doing its thing like we do every single day. Big show lined up today. A little bit different for a Friday. Christina Dent, she is the author of the book Curious. She is also founder of the organization known as End It For Good. We'll talk about drug addiction. We'll talk about addiction in general, personal health, and how you can fight some of those addictions. That's what her nonprofit organization does, and that's what her book talks about, especially for the youth of America. There was a really interesting story I want to ask her about, now with artificial intelligence rising, that there are now AIs of young teenagers that are floating out there, not from real people, but from artificial intelligence, from AI creating these graphics. And how do we start putting some type of regulatory barriers on this? Now, you know me, I'm not one for actually, you know, putting in regulations. I think the free market should kind of do its own thing. But when we're breaking the law by creating, even if it's not of an individual person, but it's in general from an AI-generated thing, we should still have some type of moral compass on, I don't know, what's actually illegal in real life should be illegal on the interweb as well. So that's not talking about censorship. That's not talking about silencing free speech. That's just having common decency. And anybody making AI graphics of something that is completely out there should really second guess humanity and their purpose in life. So we'll talk about some of that craziness and a heck of a lot more. But it's so great to be back in studio, ready to rock and roll here for a Friday. There are a few things in Washington, D.C. that we will talk about momentarily, but I have to play this for you. Now, I have to admit, and I apologize, I have not made an infomercial in a while. For those that haven't heard it and are like, what are you talking about, Andy? We make some satirical infomercials selling fake products. They are not real products, but selling fake products. And we enjoy those, and we love our fun little skits and audio bits. This is not one of those, but this is a new audio clip that was sent to me by a listener. Now, I don't know how they made it. I don't know how they generated it. I don't know how this came to be. But I think this is going to be a new theme song on this program. And I was reading the lyrics, and they are scarily and eerily spot on. So you created this specifically for me, and thank you. I love this. So I'm going to play this because this, I think, is now going to be the new theme song of The Voice of Reason. The song is called The Hammer of Truth. And I'm totally okay with that.
In the land of chaos where voices collide, there's a Viking of reason standing tall with pride. With a mighty hammer he strikes the truth, cutting through the noise, revealing what's uncouth. The halls of power where lies a spark. Stands for justice against the web that's spun. With fiery passion, he ignites the flame, shattering illusions, exposing all the shame. Hear the hammers of truth, they're ringing loud and clear, cutting through the darkness, dispelling all the fear. The voice of reason, standing strong and tall as the Viking roars. Justice for all,
Boom, there we are. The hammer of truth here on The Voice of Reason. I like it. Thank you for sending that to me. That was pretty amazing. It was so apparently an artificially engineered song specifically for this program. And I'm totally okay with that. For those that may not have caught all the lyrics, very short, obviously, about a minute, minute and a half. In the land of chaos where the voices collide, there's a Viking of reason. I like how you did that. I like how you threw that in there. Standing tall with pride. With a mighty hammer, he strikes the truth, cutting through the noise, revealing what's uncouth. In the halls of power where lies are spun, he stands for justice against the web that's spun. With fiery passion, he ignites the flame, shattering illusions, exposing all the shame. Hear the hammers of truth, they're ringing loud and clear, cutting through the darkness, dispelling all the fear. The voice of reason standing strong and tall as the Viking roars justice for all. Well done. Well done. I don't know how you created something like that, but all right. I think we're going to have to make that a theme song here on the program. Well, I like it. We're going to have to go along with that. Welcome into it. HoosierReason.com if you want to, by the way, see all of our different audio bits and skits. We will have that up there relatively soon, probably after the program, and you can listen to it again. We may have to play it a couple times or two or three. Because why the heck not? All right, let's get into what's trending today. What do you say?
What's going on in this world of mine? There's a whole lot of killing in this world of mine. Somebody's got to help this world of mine.
Let's send ourselves up to Washington, D.C. for a moment, shall we? As we talk about the latest of being passed out of the House of Representatives. And I want you to just ponder the hypocrisy of what we do in this nation sometimes. Now, I always admit that this is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. That we still love this nation, so this is not a dig on who we are, but this is an attack, a little bit of a dig on the hypocrisy of what we've done for the last few months, for sure, and the last while for the conversations that we've had regarding censorship, regarding silencing, regarding algorithms, regarding shadow banning, regarding all of this, that we should probably stop and think and ponder for ourselves for just a moment. We have an ongoing debate about TikTok and China gathering all of our information right now, and why we should ban or why we should force the selling of TikTok and ByteDance outside of the United States, or at least outside of China, into a U.S. database server, which is what they prefer, or maybe somewhere else, but I doubt anywhere else is going to take it. And they've pushed this because we don't want China, this communist nation, this evil empire, this evil adversary to the United States, to be gathering our personal and sensitive information and blogging and monitoring some of our buying habits with so many shops, which, by the way, there's like 7 million small businesses from the United States that is on TikTok trying to sell things on their shop. So it's a large generator of wealth, a large generator of traction for consumers, not only for entertainment purposes and viewing pleasure, but also for actually purchasing goods on there as well. And our government not liking that. And rightfully so. I understand why. Not saying that we should just be okay with it to a degree. However, then we look at what they passed today. And I'm glad. Here's the thing. I'm glad that we had the conversation, and I'm glad that we actually took 4 votes to do this, and that this has been a focal point for some, because since this conversation at TikTok, it started to escalate a little bit to the point where we started recognizing, hey, maybe we should have a conversation about our own censorship and data collection from the United States and from our very own government. The wild part is that somehow this is being all absorbed and concentrated into the Treasury Department. Now, when you think about censorship, social media, and content control, you don't normally think about the Treasury Department being involved in that conversation. But apparently during a hearing just the past few days, we had the House of Representatives in a committee interviewing Janet Yellen from the Treasury Department about how the Treasury Department is now opening up investigations on people based on the content and certain trigger words that are coming in regarding MAGA or Donald Trump or Bible or conservative or right wing. And they are starting to audit your bank accounts to see if you're purchasing firearms.
You believe that people that purchase Bibles are extremists?
FinCEN's mission is to safeguard the financial system from illicit use, to combat money laundering, terrorist finance.
Certainly not to target Americans for purchasing Bibles or voting for Donald Trump.
FinCEN is expected to work closely with law enforcement.
Okay, that's enough of that. I can't. That's the level to where they don't want to answer a question and admit it that, yeah, we're actually tracking people that talk about guns or Bibles, and then we can audit to see if you've actually purchased firearms, a new way to go after the Second Amendment. That's all being done by artificially generated technology or by censorship and collection from Meta or Google or YouTube or any things that you may search to where now the ding goes off and the government can start tracking what they're doing in your bank account because of what you're doing on social media. Now, again, this is the government that thinks that China is collecting too much data on you, the individual. They want to monitor your bank account to see if you purchase firearms because you're a radical right winger, you're a domestic terrorist, and you're on the fringe of society. Now, the big conversation that came up today, or the last week at least, has been the renewal of FISA. And for those that don't remember what FISA is, it is essentially the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act allowing the government to collect data without a warrant, mind you, on Americans and foreigners to collect data for national security reasons. And we have a large amount of individuals that are totally okay with this because it did end up passing. It passed after four rounds of voting, but it did pass with a 273 to 147 vote out of the House of Representatives today after former FBI agents and FBI directors and military members all came out on Fox News talking about the importance of this purpose.
Well, what I can say is this, is that as a senior commander who was a recipient of information derived by this authority, it was absolutely essential to the work we were doing, particularly those against that work against encountering terrorism. And I agree with the FBI director that without this reauthorization, we lack a tool and we will be less safe as a result.
All right. So one of the purposes that apparently took them a while to decide how are they going to vote on this after the fourth round of voting was a part of this that was a kind of a stickler for being able to monitor foreigners that are outside of the United States. What was it? Section 207, I want to say, that was kind of the stickler for some. Let me find it. According to Fox News, Section 702. That was scrapped out of this eventually, I guess. But Section 702, that was a portion that allowed the government to surveil and collect data from foreigners outside of the United States, not even people that were inside the United States, that may have contact with a United States resident in some way. They gather this data, and then we are allowed to view it and see it without some type of personal warrant. And again, luckily, conservatives are holding up their ground and saying, yeah, no, that's not okay, which is why so many fought against it. And you can notice that the fringe left and the fringe right both came together in voting against this because both of them agreed that just censoring and or monitoring and collecting data on individuals, probably not a good thing. Probably a bad idea. Especially while we're talking about how China's collecting data on Americans. But we're allowing ourselves to do that. Well, it's for security purposes, right? For security, we got to stop the terrorists. Where all this essentially came after September 11th and trying to stop terrorism abroad and trying to catch acts of terrorism before they actually happen. And I understand that. But where's the line drawn on a philosophical level between security and privacy? And in today's times, privacy seems to be an irrelevant term because we don't have privacy anymore from all the online activity that we do. And with the government collecting metadata from our phones and our social media and smart cars and everything else that we have, we don't have a lot of privacy. But should we continue to talk about this? And did we do it good enough today by holding out for four votes before this actually passing through the House of Representatives?
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
We're living in very complex times here. We have significant adversaries out there, people who want to do harm to the nation. And now is not the time to be taking tools off the table. It's time to make sure that our men and women in the military and law enforcement, federal law enforcement and the intelligence community and Homeland Security have all the tools they need to defend the nation.
That was General Joseph Vattel on Fox News earlier today talking about the passing of this FISA Act. So while we're concerned about other nations, apparently we need to have the power. They don't want to have, they can't have the power, but we can consolidate the power. And when government has power, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So we know that our own government's been doing some shady you-know-what when they get all the power, and they continue to censor us and collect data on us. But by golly, we need it for national security reasons. Now, back in the day, when I first, when 9/11 happened, and years after, when we were talking about the Patriot Act and the renewal, if you remember back, what was it, 2007, 2008, there was a time to come up and where it was renewing the Patriot Act after the original passage back in 2001 after 9/11, obviously. And they were up for a renewal. And at that time, I have to admit, that was the time I was in college. I was getting really involved in politics for the first time. And I was like, yeah, you know what? It makes sense. We need this. We need some type of security measure to monitor and try and stop things that happen. At that time, the TV show 24 with, remember, Jack Bauer. Give me a name! Jack Bauer, Kiefer Sutherland, which he's not Kiefer Sutherland anymore. He's Jack Bauer. But at that time, we had that argument on how much of a role the government should play in monitoring people to try and stop a terrorist attack before it actually happens, keeping Americans safe. And at that time, I was like, sure, we got nothing to hide. Everything's all great. Which is the general agreement of people of my generation and younger, because we don't know privacy anymore. Now that I've kind of studied this longer, that I've seen this, now that we're seeing how our government acts against us with our own government, like Kamala Harris talking about the threats of what a second term of Donald Trump may actually look like, with Joe Biden kicking off his election campaign beginning of January and saying that we are, you and I, the MAGAs, the conservatives, the Donald Trump supporters and the Republicans that cling to our guns and our Bibles, that we are the domestic terrorists now. We are the largest threat to American democracy, that we are the most radical political organization in history of the nation. Now that we've gotten to this point, it's kind of a day late and a dollar short, but now we start questioning, gee, maybe it wasn't such a good idea to allow our own government to collect as much data as what they did on us. But we allowed it, and it's totally okay. And the FISA courts allow someone to have a search warrant without actually having a search warrant. They can collect any data that they want and look at anything that you're doing at any time. And we passed it and allowed it to happen again. Now, conservatives, according to Fox News and some of those that voted against this FISA renewal, said that when Donald Trump gets into office in November and in January next year, that we can start reforming this process and allow things to actually take hold for privacy to take effect again. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case, because it's going to take more than just Donald Trump. We're going to need a lot more in the House and in the Senate in order to pass bills to stop some of the shenanigans. But the good news is that we're at least talking about it. We're at least discussing the issue, because we haven't talked about privacy and surveillance in a very long time. But it all started. The Kindle was lit. The beginning of the conversation happened all when it started with TikTok. And they said that we're not allowed to start sending information or sensitive data to the nation of China, because they're a malicious government agency, a communist Chinese party that's collecting data from Americans, and we cannot allow that. And I said, cool, that's great, but why is our own government doing the same thing and we're allowing it? So if TikTok did not happen, if this TikTok conversation wasn't even there, this would not be a point of conversation. It wouldn't be on the radar for anybody, probably including conservatives, because, well, we got to do what we got to do to keep America safe. Totally cool. All right. And all I ask is that we be somewhat coherent here, somewhat consistent in our platform, because right now, I don't think we really are. Christina Dent around the corner. We'll shift gears when we come back here for a Friday, setting the tone for your weekend when we come back. Stay here.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. When Reason Meets Radio. This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. What's up? Welcome into it. It is a Friday. Greatest day of the entire week. Pat yourself on the back, man. You made it to the end. That should be something to celebrate. So great to have you as we set the tone for another great... It's flown by. I can't... I know, it's hard. And then we get, of course, this voting from the House of Representatives on this whole FISA thing and security stuff, and it's ridiculous. There was, by the way, a joint statement from former President Donald Trump and Speaker Mike Johnson as well. We'll try and get to some of that if we get a chance. More than likely, that'll be on the national syndicated program on the weekend. Don't miss that one, by the way. Go to HoosierReason.com, HOOSER Reason.com, check out the website. We have our lineup of exactly when our show runs all the time on all the different platforms all over the place. And so great to have you with us. By the way, also want to tell you about our friends over at Patriot Mobile. PatriotMobile.com/reason is the promo code. You can get free activation. Your only Christian conservative wireless provider. We're going to be talking to the CCO of Patriot Mobile this weekend on that show as well. What they do, where they came from, and how we can stop the woke left from investing in massive amounts of money through corporations. And if you're going to spend your money on a regular basis, then you should do it just in a fashion where you're still getting the same service, but yet it doesn't go towards a crazy left, progressive, liberal, woke business that invests in ideologies and agendas that go against your values. Patriot Mobile doesn't do that. They donate a portion of the funds all the time to different organizations that support the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, and beyond. Go to PatriotMobile.com. Use promo code REASON for free activation and support us right here on The Voice of Reason with PatriotMobile/Reason. All right, let's get to our guest here. What do you say with our latest in What's Trending?
What's trending today?
I want to shift gears a bit from politics and get into more humanity discussions, because obviously both go hand in hand, and we can stop one issue by addressing other issues as well. And I'm here to tell you that the government, I know this may be a shocker for some, the government cannot solve issues for you. Period. And this doesn't happen. I know that when you say that, the other side of the aisle gets a little angry.
I know,
it's okay. But what can we do to actually be aware of certain issues? We see crime rates on the way up all over the country. We see suicidal rates and depression and anxiety for teenagers. In fact, I continue to regurgitate this stat over and over on the program that the average fifth grader today has the same level of anxiety as what a patient in a mental hospital in the 1960s actually had. Now, let's say something. What in the world's going on? How could we have these kids that have so much anxiety? You saw the video, I'm sure you've seen, that went viral of this kid saying that he works like two minimum wage jobs and he can't afford living and how bad the economy is. And that's a whole other conversation. But what does this do? It leads to depression. It leads to anxiety. It leads to suicidal tendencies. It leads to drugs. That leads to addiction. That leads to crime. That leads to, and just it snowballs under control. So while we talk about crime, for example, we could talk about boosting up law enforcement. We could talk about trying to crack down on crime and actually crack down on the laws that are actually on the books. That's fine. But what's the deeper rooted issue here? Unveiling those layers of the onion and figuring out what's going on in society, both for adults and for the youth of America. To talk about some of that and so much more, really happy to have back on the program. It's been a little bit since we've had her on. She is the president of End It For Good, and she's author of her latest book as well, Curious. Excited to have on here Christina Dent. Christina, how are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, so great to chat with you. Talking about drugs and addiction and where we're at in the state of, I guess, our state of mind as a society today, we're seeing more, are we? I guess the question is, are we seeing more drugs and addictive behavior today than what we've seen in the past?
Yes, I think two of the stats that are most shocking to me, and I think most troubling, and we really need to find a better path forward, are that illegal drug use has doubled in the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. So you think about what trajectory do we want to be on? It has doubled. The use of illegal drugs has doubled in the last 20 years. That's not the direction we want to go. And we also have an overdose death rate that is now the leading cause of accidental death in the United States. We've lost 100,000 people each year for the last couple of years, over 100,000 to accidental overdose. So we need better solutions, because the problem is going in the wrong direction, not the right direction.
That is very true. Let's break a couple of those apart real quickly. Let's talk about illegal drugs. When we talk about illegal drugs, what is the flavor of choice right now? Is it still, I mean, I know marijuana is starting to be legalized in many states, so I don't know that we're necessarily talking about that. But what are we, when we talk about illegal drugs and then accidental overdoses, I'm assuming fentanyl-laced stuff? I mean, what are we talking about here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the vast majority, if you're talking about opioid overdoses, about 90% of people who die of an opioid overdose now have fentanyl in their body. So fentanyl started on the East Coast. It moved its way across to the West Coast, where it hit about 2020 in full force. The research shows that it takes about 6 years of kind of really horrendous effects from that before the death rate begins to sort of stabilize. in a place where fentanyl has reached. But the deeper problem really isn't fentanyl. It's that fentanyl is one in a never-ending long line of drugs that get added to drugs on the underground markets. There's no regulatory control, no quality control. People can sell whatever they want to, and they're highly incentivized to sell very potent products because they're easier to smuggle. You can smuggle smaller quantities. So the fentanyl problem is not really about fentanyl. The reason we have fentanyl is because we are continuing to push more and more drugs into this underground market where it's a complete free-for-all, and it's only governed by people engaging in criminal behavior. So we are incentivizing criminal behavior and incentivizing the loss of life by pushing more and more drugs into this unregulated underground market.
Yeah, that's a scary thought to think about, and especially if it's doubled over this short amount of time, then we have a serious problem. So the bigger question, obviously, is why? What's driving people to do more of these drugs and cause more of an addiction and have more drugs on the street for a higher demand for this stuff?
Yeah, so there's been kind of several things that have happened simultaneously, and I go into this more in my book, Curious, but part of the problem is that at the same time that fentanyl came on the scene in the underground market, now fentanyl has been used in hospitals and still is every day. I mean, every hospital in this country is using fentanyl every day.
Right.
They're using pharmaceutical fentanyl. It's quality controlled. They can dose it appropriately. In the book, I tell the story of my son when he was 4 being given fentanyl in an emergency room just a couple of years ago. So you can appropriately dose fentanyl. It's a helpful medical tool, but when it's unregulated, it is incredibly high potency and can cause serious problems and death if it is not dosed appropriately. And so when we think about what the solution is for that, we need to think beyond cracking down on fentanyl, because xylazine has already come in bigger cities on the East Coast. Nitazenes are already being seen. Nitazenes, xylazine, both more potent than fentanyl. So in 10 or 15 years, we're not going to be talking about fentanyl anymore, because we're going to be talking about these other drugs that are even more potent than fentanyl is. And so we have to go deeper and address why so many people are using. And one of the reasons for that is that as people are, there's an increased demand because the emotional and mental health of people in our country is not great. And when you use drugs, they can make you feel better than you do for a little while, at least. And so we have a lot of people who are suffering, and we have substances that can temporarily alleviate that, but they can also cause a lot of harm. At the same time, it's become harder and harder for people to access a quality-controlled supply of drugs, whether they're using medically or whether they're using recreationally. And so as that access to quality control drugs through a legal marketplace, whether that's a pharmacy or whatnot, as that has gotten squeezed, more and more people are moving to this underground market. And as mental health has struggled over the last couple of years, and before that too, but particularly since the pandemic, we have an increased suffering, increased amount of just mental health challenges that we're dealing with. And so we've got more and more people wanting to use drugs to change the way they feel, and we have a smaller and smaller supply of quality controlled ones. And unfortunately, the underground market is always standing by. They are always ready to sell to whoever wants it. There's no age restrictions, and they can sell whatever they want to for whatever cost they want to. And it is a complete free-for-all. So the direction that's headed is that we will have more people dying and more crime and violence coming from all the money that is being funneled into this underground market.
Yeah, it's a scary thought. And you mentioned COVID. I mean, again, COVID, the unintended consequences of locking everybody down, taking away their jobs, saying that they're non-essential, and then trying to bring them back and get them just isolated from home, from family, from extended family, so on and so forth, having that unintended consequence that led to what we're seeing. We got about a minute before we have to take a hard break here, but have you seen the dramatic increase of these overdoses and drug addictions since just COVID itself that you think are specifically related to the pandemic and what happened and how we responded here?
Yeah, I think it can be. Some of that was headed in that trajectory anyway, but we see that massive amounts of harm in terms of mental health have come out of that. Mental health is always associated with the use of substances because people are suffering and they're looking for something, and we need to help people have better tools to deal with the suffering and struggle that we all face in our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. What a scary thought. We're talking with Christina Dent. She's author of the book Curious, A Foster Mom's Discovery of an Unexpected Solution to Drugs and Alcohol. You can find her organization as well at enditforgood.com. Enditforgood.com. We got to take a break here, Christina. When we come back, I want to continue this conversation about why people are turning to this, not only because of, and we can talk about all the factors from crime to the economy to their jobs to whatever, but is there a deeper reason even beyond that for our purpose, for our drive? Do we lack ambition? Are we lacking our purpose because of the society that we live in? And is this leading to some of this, and how do we end some of this addiction? Lots more of that coming up when we right around the corner. Stay here.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Boy, how the time flies right on by. It's a Friday, man, and we got so much more to talk about and so little time to do it. Right now, we're hanging out with Christina Dent. She is with End It For Good. EnditForGood.com as we try to battle the ongoing drug and addiction problem in the nation. Also author of the book, Curious, A Foster Mom's Discovery of an Unexpected Solution to Drugs and Addiction. So let's talk about some of these cures, or at least the solutions of what we can start focusing on here, Christina. And I kind of teased it going into the break, but do you think that part of this reason is not only the stress of life that is today, which is, you know, a whole another couple hours that we could have on the program, but lacking purpose, lacking drive, the young generation that just hasn't found what drives them, what wants to build? I mean, the motto in America was always bigger, better, faster, stronger, and we've kind of gone to the wayside from that. I'm finding purpose on staying busy and building things, which is humanity's all about. Do you think that's contributing to just people not having anything to do and turning to this kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think some of it can be that. I was I heard a doctor talk recently about the three things that the younger generation is trying to answer. The three big questions that are driving them are: who am I? Where do I belong? And what is my purpose?
Yeah.
And so that we've got a big role to play in helping them find that, and not just scrolling on a phone. You know, now we didn't have that opportunity when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And now they do. And so how can we help people find more purpose? How can we help people deal with difficulties in their lives, traumas they've experienced, losses, abuse, neglect, even for people who feel like, well, I don't really think, you know, my friends or my nieces or nephews or my friends' kids, you know, I think they're okay. They haven't really been through much. We really don't know what people have been through. Most people don't share those experiences out loud if they have been through this. And so, there's a lot that's going on beneath the surface. One of the big themes of the book is really looking beneath the surface of a person's life, because what we typically latch on to is the behavior that we see.
Yeah.
So we latch on to they're using drugs, and we think that's the problem. The problem is that they're using drugs. The problem is they're addicted. The problem is that they're homeless. And we don't look a little deeper and say, Those are outcomes of something else that's going on in their life. And the more that their life has spun out of control, there's a good chance the deeper the pain that they're dealing with inside, and maybe in very unhealthy ways. And we need to help people to deal with those things in healthier ways. But a big part of how we have responded to that in America is that we tend to respond to everything that's kind of going wrong through force. You know, we say, if you shouldn't be doing that, let's make it illegal. If we think that's not going to be good for you, let's make it illegal. And so we've done that with substance use. We've said, well, we'll just arrest you if we catch you with a drug that you shouldn't be using. And really, that has ended up increasing and compounding the challenges that people face. They come out with a criminal record. They can't get a job. They can't find housing. And we can stop and say, you know, we can say just, you shouldn't have done it. Well, if they wouldn't have done it, you know, they wouldn't have all of that Well, yeah, we can say that. Or we can say, you know what, we know a lot more now than we used to know about why people use drugs and what drives addiction. And we can follow those dots and say, whether it's trauma, whether it's loneliness, grief, whatever kind of lack of purpose they're dealing with, putting them in prison where there's drugs are rampant and they can use whenever they want to, it's not going to solve any drug use because drugs are readily available in incarcerated environments. And it's going to make life really hard for them. They're very likely to be abused in prison and all of the other factors that happen when they come out with that criminal record. And so can we look at the root causes and can we at least stop using the tools that are not built for this problem and begin to build up and bolster better tools, teaching children about emotional regulation, teaching them how to deal with difficult things in their lives, helping them build that resiliency to make it through even really painful experiences in a way that allows them to come out the other side, able to grapple with that without self-numbing with substances.
It's a great point. You have to ask that one simple question on why they're doing it. Like you said, I mean, we need to, obviously, if they're turning to something illegal like that, do they need to be punished for it? Yeah, the slap on the wrist or whatever needs to be taking place. But the deeper question is why they're turning to that and how we can turn that behavior around based on whatever's going on in their life. And we haven't done that. You're right. We've completely masked it. We don't like to unveil those layers of the onion and look at a deeper problem, which is why the problems continue to get worse in the nation. Go check it out. Go check out the book, Curious. Also, check out the website, enditforgood.com. Christina, thank you so much for coming on the program, my friend. So great. Keep up this fight, and let's get you back on again real soon.
Absolutely. Thanks.
I appreciate it very much. There it is. We're done for today. Friday's all over, my friends. Back at it again on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend. This is The Voice Reason. I'm Andy Hoosier. We'll see you on the radio. Bye.